Okay, so Rabbi Zilberstein had a fascinating shayla on related to the daf we learned this week, this amud this week. Rabbi Zilberstein has a wonderful set of svarim that he brings in fascinating shaylas all the time. Some are a little bit out there, some are a little bit more in reality. But either way, it certainly brings in a number of the principles that we learn inside, bring them to life a bit. So the question, we'll start with the question he raised, and then we'll go through the sugya and some of the principles we've been learning and apply them. The question he had was as follows. He said that there was a big hall, and they were having a Shabbos Sheva Brachos, one of these fancy hotels, let's say. And one of the guests wanted to light the candles in a nice way next to the Makom Achila. As a side point, there's a din to light Neir's Shabbos where you're going to benefit from them. And oftentimes where it's set up in the hall, you're having a Shabbaton somewhere, you're having a Sheva Brachos, an offer from a hotel, so they're all set up by one table, you have 500 candles there, and you're not really getting any Derek Tana, you're not adding anything to it. So when my wife lights, and we go to these Shabboses, I often ask her, I always ask her, but I don't know if it's always allowed by the caterer, I always tell her to light on the table if allowed. So usually if there's a candle on the table, that sometimes they have fancy tables, they have candles on the table, so I would tell her to ask the caterer if she could light that candle for the Shabbos meal, because it's ideal to have the candles where you're eating. That's the ideal. Okay, and if you can't do that, so then it's fine lighting off to the side. So this lady was really, or probably more her husband, was really machmer in her to light by the Shabbos table. So she wanted to light where they were eating. And there was no place on the table. It was very full, the table. You don't want to cause a fire at all. I was once at a wedding, actually, a cousin's wedding of mine, a very fancy wedding, and at our table, something caught fire because there was a candle and some of the flowers were hanging down, and then it started smoking a little bit. So it got a little bit wild there, and Baruch Hashem, they put it out before it got far. But when there are candles on the table, it could be very dangerous. So it reminds me of another story. I was at a chasana maybe 5 years ago. So a good friend of mine was the Masada Kedushim. And it was one of his first times being Masada Kedushin. And sometimes, depending where which hall you're running the wedding at, oftentimes the caterer will have ashes for the Masada Kedushin to put on the chassan's head under the chuppah. So at this place, they didn't have ashes, and the rabbi didn't know to come with ashes beforehand. So he had asked me to find the caterer to get ashes. And now, the chuppah is beginning, and I'm trying to rush to get it in. And I don't know where the caterer is. I don't know who the caterer is. This place is big. There's a kitchen. There's a whole hall of 500 seats. And so, there are candles at the table. Great. So I took a napkin from the bar, and I put it into the candle and just let it go out a little bit. But then suddenly they caught fire pretty quickly. So then I dropped it. It was a glass. So I dropped the fire into a glass cup, and it was a big fire in the glass cup on the napkin. So then I didn't want the sprinkler system to go off. So then I covered it with my hand. It gets pretty hot. So I put a napkin. I covered it with my hand. So then I suffocated the fire. The oxygen went when the fire went out. But then all the smoke was built up inside, so I had to take it outside, run outside, run outside, and then I had to take out the napkin, and then the smoke started coming out, but it was outside already. So I came inside, and I'm all schwitzing. I said, here are your ashes. Next time, please come prepared with your ashes. So there are candles at the table, and they, of course, could sometimes be dangerous. So this lady wanted to light the candles next to her table for the Shabbos meal. And after, what was the Asa she did? So she couldn't find any room on the table. There was too many things on the table. So she brought one of the chairs, and she put a chair next to her table and set up a nice little a place to light her candles. And then after they finished the Suda, so then the candles, of course, went out, and all the guests went home. And then the caterers and the waiters were moving everything around, and they moved to candelabra somewhere else. And then that chair that she used was mixed amongst the other chairs. So what's the problem? Because we know there's a concept of a basis, that if something is muksa on a basis, if it was that way, bein hashmasho, so that chair, that basis becomes aser for all of Shabbos. Now you have that one chair among 500 other chairs. You don't know which one it is. So are you going to say you should go based on Rove? Since Rove chairs are mutter, and we can't identify which one was the chair, which one's the bosses. So we say bitul barov. Or should you say there's a concept of davar sheyesh lamatirin, which we're going to discuss in just a second. Davar sheyesh lamatirin, the din is there is no bitul. So let's discuss what davar sheyesh lamatirin is, and then we're going to go through how exactly to answer this question. So that's the question we're keeping in the back of the mind. How do you ascertain where that chair is, or how do you deal with all the other chairs if you don't know which one was the basis? So what exactly is davar sheyesh lo matir? So we have to know that in general, there's a concept of bitul barov. If one item on a deraisa level, Rashi quotes the makor, it says in the pasuk, achrei rabim lahatos. We follow rov lahatos to turn the din. So when it comes to, let's say, a court case, you have, I was a zocha to be on jury duty this past Monday. I know everyone comes in there and no one wants to be part of jury duty. I found it extremely fascinating. I also came in with that same negativity, not wanting to be in there. I brought many svarim to learn. I didn't know what to expect. I learned a lot, Baruch Hashem, but I found it absolutely fascinating watching how the attorneys are cross-examining the jurors. Not that it wasn't a court case yet. It was absolutely fascinating. May I share with you maybe a little later or another shir. I spoke to Rav Weinberg about it also the other night, and he also found it just as fascinating when he was also on jury duty. I wasn't selected. I'll share with you maybe at the end why not. But in the end of the day, when it comes to a Din Torah, we have three people, and we go based on the roof. So if two people say Zakai, then the guy is innocent. If two people say Chayiv, so then the guy is guilty. So that's the Din Achir Rabim Lahatos. Whenever there's roof, we say Batal. You have two pieces of meat that are kosher, one piece of meat that's non-kosher. If you cannot distinguish between which ones are, which ones are not, we say bitul barov. That's mederaisa. However, there are a number of exceptions where we don't say bitul barov. There are a number of exceptions. So the Gemara here in Beta, Daf Gimel Beit, introduces two such cases where bitul barov does not apply. The first case the Gemara says is davar sheyesh lamatirim. If something has a heter in the future, it can't be batal now. So the case the Gemara is talking about is muksa, or nolad. If an egg was laid on Yontif or on Shabbos, that item is nolad. It's muksa, it's usr right now. So shouldn't you say, if one egg among 1,000 eggs, I can't tell you which egg is which. So shouldn't I say bitul? It's bitul barov, it's bitul balef. But the Gemara says, since after Shabbos is over, after Yontif is over, it will be mutter. We say, Rashi points out, wait until Shabbos, have a little patience, and don't eat it now while there's an egg that's muksa. Wait until everything's completely mutter, wait till after Yontif is over, have a little patience, and then eat it afterwards. The way Rashi says this is, says Rashi, Hol v'yesh lo matirin l'achar zman, since this egg, which I can't figure out which one it is mutter after time, after Shabbos or Yontif is over, lo yachle lenu b'isr. Don't eat it now where there's an isr, ayude bitu, through the concept of nullifying. Wait until after Shabbos, whereby every egg is going to be mutter. So that's the din of davar sheyesh lamatirin. We don't rely on bitu. So what Rav Zilberstein's saying here is, if I've got 500 chairs, one of them being a basis, having a din of muksa, it's not bitul because davar sheyesh lamatirin. Wait until Yontif is over. So that's why bitul should not apply by the case of the chairs. Another exception to bitul, yes.
And when Rashi says, lo yochal b'itzer al yedei bitul, so on the one hand he's saying it's an itzer, but he's saying like, don't do it. So on the one hand it sounds like it's like a suggestion, like, you know, better just to wait. On the other hand, he's calling it an isser. Like, which does he think that it is?
No, I think he's saying that it is usr. The person, because one could wait, so therefore it would be usr to eat it today. The bitul does not apply, and if bitul does not apply, so then it would be considered an isser in eating it. I think that's what he's saying. So bitul doesn't apply on the item today. So that's one exception to bitul. Again, davar sheyesh lamatirin is not subject to bitul. Wait it out. The other exception to bitul that the Gemara introduces is davar shebiminin, something that gets counted. If something is chashiv, if an egg is a davar shebiminin that you sell by the count as opposed to the weight, so each one is significant in its own right, you can't be mevatel something that's significant. A diamond, you can't say bitul by a diamond, because a diamond is significant. So too, davar shebiminin, if you sell by the count, that shows their significance and you can't be mevatel. So these are two exceptions that the Gemara here introduces that are not subject to lachas of bittul. I want to just give you a little background about other examples. I'm not going to go into depth, but it's important to know, just to be aware of, that there are other exceptions where bittul does not apply in general. There's a section of halacha in Chelek Yerdeya of Shulchan Aruch. Yerdeya deals with Isser v'Heter stuff. So there's a section called Hilchos Taroves, others call it Hilchos Taruves. Taroves talks about mixtures. And the whole concept of bittul is discussed in these 10 simanim or so, from Tzadiches through Kufir Aleph in Yerdeya. If you just look at the table of contents, I recommend in general, when people learn, it's when you have a new sefer, it's very kedai to look at the table of contents, just to be familiar with what's out there. Certainly the Mishnah Berurah, you want to look things up, just familiarize yourself with the table of contents to know how to navigate through the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch. You're not expected to remember every single simon, but even just topics. You know, for example, and this is Chelek Beis of Yerdeya. So Hilchas Dam, eating blood, Malicha, salting, Simani Behemel, Chai V'Torah, Eiver Menachai, fish, Talayim, worms, and Beitz and Bas B'Chalav, Taruves, just to get familiar what's in there to be discussed. And the details you can know, but just to know where to look things up is very helpful. So if you just look down, he has a few entries here on the Hilchos Taruves. He says something called Chaticha Haru'uya Liskabir. What's Chaticha Haru'uya Liskabir? As another example, another exception to Bittul. If I have a chashuv piece of meat, I have a nice rib steak, a rib roast, which you would serve a very special guest, and I've got now 15 of them, and there's a non-kosher one that looks exactly like the other ones, falls into this pile, so I should say Bittul Barof. But the din is, since this is a piece of meat that's a chashuv meat, that's ruya, that's fit, liskabed, it's a piece of meat I would be mischabed, I would honor a guest with, we don't say bittul. It's too chashuv to say bittul. That's also another example where bittul does not apply. He has the example of davar sheyesh lo matirin is another simon here. Another concept is birya. What's a birya? It's the underlying idea is chashivas, but there are different ways of chashivas. Some is because minyan, we sell by count. Others because it's the quality of it is more important. Birya is another example which the Shulchan Aruch has. Birya is not subject to bittul. What's birya? If it's an entire creature, an entire organism that's in there, there's no bittul. So if I have, let's say, a bug gets whole, there's no bittul. Let's say you have, it comes up a lot when you, fruits we know have insects and bugs. So if I crush them, if they're whole, so then there's no bittul. Even though I've got a lot more strawberries than there are bugs, still, since it's a birya, even though it's tiny, it's a bug, you don't say bittul. If I were to, let's say, to blend them and make a smoothie out of them, and now I've crushed them, so that would definitely be bittul. Now, why can't I just go home and say, I got strawberries now, and there are bugs all over my strawberries, or, I don't know, blackberries have bugs in them, whatever the case is. So I can't eat it because they're bugs, they're whole, and you don't say bittul. So let me just blend them all. I'll blend all of them, and then it's not a berry anymore, and there's certainly more strawberries than there are than insects. Why can't I do that? Anyone know why I can't do that? Why, what's b'di'evid? The bittul? No, bittul. So once you have b'di'evid, once you have a bittul, it's not a b'di'evid.
No, doing it b'yadahim, like creating a b'yadahim.
So what's that called? Anyone know what that's called? Ein mevatlin iser lichatchila. I can't lichatchila mevatil an iser. Yes, bittul applies. Let's say I've got milk that falls into chulin accidentally. So if I've got 60 times chulin to the milk, that's bittul. But can I lichatchila take a tiny bit of milk and put it in my chulin and rely on bittul? No. Ein mevatlin iser lichatchila. I cannot create bittul on my own. So I can't blend the strawberries and the bugs because that's me doing this. So it comes up oftentimes in the kashrus industry. Let's say you have a company that uses strawberries for whatever they're making. So do you have to check them? Does the mashgiach have to check the strawberries before he makes whatever he's making? And the answer is no. Because when the goy does this, the goy's intention is not to be mevatel the bugs. His intention is to crush the strawberries. Happens to be, so then there are insects that are crushed along the way. That's not a violation of mevatlin iser lechachila. It's only if you have kavanah to do this. Since the kavanah of the goy is to crush the strawberries, memela, it happens to be the insects are also crushed, but that's not his intention. That's not a problem of mevatlin iser lechachila. Either way, my point is that just a general background of different examples where bittul does apply, perhaps does not apply, but our focus, at least for the Gemara and Beita and the situation at hand of the chairs, are davar sheish lamatirin, something that will have a heter after time, should not be bittul now, and something that's a davar b'minyan, sh'b'minyan, that's sold by the count, each number, the quantity, you sell by the quantity, that also is not subject to bittul. So seemingly these two examples, a chair falls under both categories. It's a basis now, it's Asr and Shabbos and Yom Tov today, but it's davar sheish lamatir, and tomorrow will be mutter, and it's sold by the count. You don't buy chairs by the weight. You sell chairs by how many there are, which means it'll be a davar shebiminin, and bittul shouldn't apply. So you go back to the question, how can those guests sit on the chairs at the Shabbos Sheva Brachos if there's one among the 500 that served as a basis? I haven't seen that Tircha de Tzibra ever affect anything legabe in Isser. In fact, affects other things regarding shul and different things in terms of a base knesses, but not legabe Isserim, to my knowledge at least. We have one example actually does come up. It could be interesting though. The Gemara talks about Gemara on Shabbos, Tircha. You can't do Tircha Yisera on Shabbos. Tircha Yisera means you shouldn't exert yourself, overly exert yourself. So it talks about schlepping chairs back and forth. It's schlepping. It's a tircha. But let's say you're trying to make room for, bring chairs in for a shir, or for achnas orchem. There's a mitzvah. It's a tzibur type of mitzvah. So there's a certain heterim of being able to schlep more. We could push off tircha for the sake of the tircha, the tzibur. But we don't find that nothing jumps to mind, lagabi, the din of iser muksa with regards to tircha, the tzibur. I hear. It's something that's probably worthwhile weighing in. But I haven't seen it. So let's discuss this din first of Davar Sheyesh L'Matir. So there is a tzlach, the Nod B'Yehuda, and a fascinating chiddush, not everyone agrees to. The poskim do bring him the halacha in a number of different cases. The tzlach is mechadesh, that Davar Sheyesh L'Matir is only a relevant concept if it's a one-and-done situation. Meaning I could eat the egg just once. I can eat it twice. Either I'm going to eat it today, or I'm going to eat it tomorrow. But I can't eat both of them. Once I eat an egg, it's done, of course. So only then we say, if you're going to have to choose one option, choose the better option. Choose the day that you're allowed to eat it. Wait till Sunday. Don't eat it on Shabbos. That's when the din of davar sheish matirin applies. But the note behud is mechadish, if it's something that you could use multiple times. So they're not mutually exclusive. I could use it today and tomorrow. And the next day, says the Nod B'Yehuda, there is no problem. It's not called a davar sheish lamatirin. Tomorrow's use of this chair, tomorrow's use of whatever item, has no impact on my use today. And therefore, he says, that's not called a davar sheish lamatirin. Waiting out is not going to change the impact of it. If I can't use it today, I've lost today's use. I've lost it. It's a different use today and tomorrow, different uses. And therefore, he says, a non-eating item, something that can be used multiple times, is not categorized as a davar sheish lamatirin, and bittul will apply to such an item. Everyone hear that chiddush of his? That's a chiddush.
So you're going to say it won't apply?
You know, it will not. If it's something that has multiple uses, it's not called a davar sheish lamatirin. It's considered a regular object, and bittul will apply, and you can use it in the state of bittul.
How did that work? Davar sheyesh lo matirin was a gzeira, so the rabbanim were not gozer at that type of occurrence.
Correct. Exactly. That's his understanding.
There's more of a loss.
More. What do you mean that by that?
Because the egg, you don't lose much if you eat it today or tomorrow. You know, you're gonna get the hana of eating an egg. But a chair, for example, right? So every time you don't use it, you're losing that use.
Correct.
Potential
that,
use.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? That's a nice way to say it. That yeah. Today's use is lost forever.
That's it.
The fact that I use it tomorrow, Sunday, doesn't help me today. But the egg is a one-time use, and therefore, egg is called a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Wait it out until that egg's mutter, but waiting out by the chair doesn't affect anything. Things that have multiple usage is not called a davar sheyesh lamatirin, and bittul will apply. That's the chiddush of the tzlach.
Is that because you need it now? Like, in other words, like, because you need it right now.
There's a loss.
Because of the fact that there's a loss, you need it now.
I'm not sure if it's the needed or not. It's not called a davar sheish matir, because we view it really not by the object, but more by the usage. If you want to take it that way, the chefta versus the gavra might be a way to say it. The egg is a chefta, that's a davar mukta. So right now it's aser, tomorrow it's mutter. But the chair, we don't view it as being a chefta shel iser, we view it about my ability to use it today and tomorrow. Now, if I have to wait till tomorrow, that I missed out a whole time of using it today, because you said I can't use it today. So, therefore, since tomorrow's Sunday's usage has no effect on my Shabbos day usage, it therefore doesn't have any impact on the din of I'm not being clear at all.
It does have an impact. Not eating the egg does like ruin your Shabbos sometimes, you know? Could.
Well, that's the difference.
But ultimately, when you eat that egg, you get the hana of eating an egg.
But you could say the same thing, I guess, by a chair as well. You get the hana of using a chair today and tomorrow.
Because you paid $1,000 for this chair so that you could use it for the next 10 years, right? And you have a, let's say, an offer for your son this week, right? And you need that chair, right? So you lose that investment you made in the chair by not using
right,
the
right, but let's
ofer.
Say I need the egg. I need the egg for this Shabbos, for the ofer.
You even rented a chair, right. Let's say. You rented a chair from... A,
right, but that exactly. So I'm not sure if it's about your owning of it, because you a great example of you, you know, renting something. You don't own it. It wasn't
right,
an investment.
You could have.
And secondly, you might need the egg also. You might need the egg just as much as you need the chair. So I don't know if it's about that point or per se, but I think it's really what he's trying to describe here is that that you know, if you have, you know, if when it comes to egg, I've got one way to use it. I've got the option of either using it b'isser or b'heter. So obviously, beheter should be the way. That's the better option, as opposed to beisser. But a chair, it's not options like that. It's not either this way or that way. It's I could use it multiple times, and therefore it's not about weighing times of use. It's I could use it today, I could use it tomorrow, and therefore that does not become a relevant question this way or that way. It's both of them, and therefore for that reason, it's not considered davar sheyesh matirin, and bittul will apply. So just to bring out other examples where you have such an instance of a chefza. Meaning the way to break it down, the way Nodibhuda says, is food versus other items versus kalim. Food, we say it's a one-time use, of course. That is davar sheyesh matirin. Kalim have multiple uses, are not subject, are not called davar sheyesh matirin. So let's say I've got a case here.
Would there be a case of kalim with the one-time use?
Yeah, so we're right now we're going to one-time, no, I don't think so. Interesting, aluminum pans maybe. Could be, but let's assume that we're not. It's a very good point, but let's try to take that out for now. Let's assume all kalim can be used multiple times, but that is a fair point I think to raise. So the case that the Tshuvos Levushei Mordechai deals with, let's say you have a bunch of kalim. This has happened over time many times. You were tovel your kalim, and then one of them you forgot to tovel, or you just didn't have a chance to. You know, you brought all your dishes, then you come home like, oh, I forgot to bring one dish. There's one box that was still there I didn't bring. I'll get to it some other time. And your housekeeper unpackages it and puts it with the other dishes now in your cabinet. Now you have no idea which one. You have to go back now to the mikveh with all 20 pieces of plates and whatever else to tovel it, or could you say bittul? So I don't know, this bittul, it's a davar sheyesh matirin, isn't it? Because it's mutter. If I just bring it to the mikvah, so now that's going to be mutter, so I shouldn't say bittul, right? So based on this Nod Bihuda, it's not called a davar sheyesh matirin. Since a plate has multiple uses to them, it's like that the chair has multiple uses to them, you would not categorize this as a davar sheyesh matirin, and you would be able to say bittul. Similar model. The Pisrei Tshuva talks about a case. I had a bunch of kalim. I need to kasher. Forget Pesach. Pesach is more complicated. I have to kasher. I don't know. You got from a Yerusha, from a relative who wasn't religious. You got some glasses that you're able to kasher. You got some Kiddush cups that you assume are treif. You get to keep them. You get to kasher them. So you did a bunch of them, and then you forgot one. And they all look exactly the same. And you're not sure which one did not go through Hagalas Kalim yet. You got 10 of them that are kosher and one that's not. So should you say Bittul Barof? Or no, it's a Davar Sheyesh Matirin. Take a big pot, we're learning Hagalas Kalim tonight more. Take a big pot, boil it up, and drop the Becher, and you do it again. It's a Davar Sheyesh Matirin. It's a very simple way to undo it.
It's Shabbos already?
No, forget Shabbos. A regular case. A regular weekday. I Yeah, a regular weekday, I can do Hagalas Kehillah. I can't do Hagalas Kehillah on Shabbos. A regular weekday, I've got 10 Kiddush cups. 9 of them I know are kosher, and 1 is not. I forgot to do Hagalas Kehillah. I misplaced it, and now they're all mixed together. So I should say, don't use all 10 now, because I could very simply matter all of them by doing Hagalas Kehillah on all 10 of them. Granted, 9 of them are going to be repeated, but 1 will have its Hagalas Kehillah now. So do we say to Davar Sheyesh Matir and Kothu Hagala? And we should say, there is no bittul. You have to put all of them through the boiling water. Or do you say, no? The Noz B'Huda has his chiddush. That davar sheish matirin is only by food items that have a one-time use. When it comes to kelim that are used multiple times, that's not called a davar sheish matirin. And we should say bittul in that case, and you don't have to do hagalas kelim. So this tzlach is actually brought down by pischei tshuva on hagalas kelim. So this is a fascinating discussion.
Let's say you're going to be using all 10 kelim, then you're definitely going to be using the one that's not.
That's fine. When we say bittul, there's a discussion when it comes to bittul berov. Let's say I have 2 pieces of kosher meat, 1 piece of non-kosher meat, and they get mixed together. I don't know which is which. So the halacha is that you're allowed to do this bittul berov. So bittul berov, what does that mean? So some say, I assume all kosher meats, all of them are kosher meat. I take one out of 3, chances are it's a kosher. So I eat it. Next time, still, I got 2 left, one of them, it's likely it's kosher. And even the third one, I could eat the third one as well, bezeh achar zeh. I have to eat them separately, not at one shot. But there is the sheet of the Rush that says I could eat all 3 in one shot, bevas achas, because he says, Bittul tells me, Bittul dictates, that nepacha iser lios keheter. The iser flips to become a heter. Bittul makes everything mutter. Now imagine this. You have 3 pieces of meat, and you know for sure that one is treif. You know for sure one's treif. The halacha tells me I could eat all 3. Some say all together, one shot. Some say one after the next. But that's the din. It actually changes it somehow, metaphysically, it changes the idea of the meat.
What about this rule the rabbi just said on the chashivas of an expensive piece of meat?
So that, forget, that's it's not a chashiv piece of meat. It's a whatever, I don't know, whatever type of meat's not chashiv.
Oh,
so that's a different discussion.
Even ballpark.
No, whatever this,
it's
a cheap piece of meat, whatever that might be. So I don't know, you have turkey. Turkey's not chashiv. So you have 3 pieces of turkey, okay? One's kosher, 2 are kosher, 1's nevela. So whatever the definition is of not covered, so that's fine. So you can have all 3 pieces of meat.
The case of the Agala is different than this case of Shabbos, no? Because you can easily, in that situation, go and dip him.
Shabbos also. I can easily wait until Shabbos is over.
No, but you have an Ufer of the Shabbos. You have a Kiddush the Shabbos.
Okay, so that's a... Okay, but who says
there's more of a Torah?
Who says that's a relevant factor that you could take into account the urgency, the need? That we haven't.
We're talking about the chair. There is a loss, right? There, by the dipping, by the agala, the only loss is that you're being lazy, that you don't want to go to the mikveh again.
That's fine, but we haven't seen it. We can't say just because there's a loss that's going to affect halacha. Losses are important, but it doesn't always play a relevant role. You know, a guy's going to lose a lot of money. He bought, he made a bad investment. Turns out he invested into non-kosher meat accidentally. He's got a big store. He's got 500 people who are here. And if he doesn't serve them food, they're going to be angry. They won't pay the money. He's going to lose his business. It's a big hefsid mamon. Maybe we should let the caterer serve him the 500 people the treif meat. It's a big hefsid.
No, I'm saying on the Shabbos case, right, Ramati, or it's because there is a loss here. Arei hefsid at the shimush al hayom, right?
Which case? No,
no. There's no
turn the page. Oh, you don't have the answer right now. Yeah. So we'll get it. I'm saying,
but in the case of the mikveh, it's almost like you're making a lachatchila or no?
No, but I'm saying even the mikveh, it's a big tircha. The tircha to take all your dishes out. You've got you got a lot of dishes. So now we can start saying, well, it depends how many dishes you have. If it's 5, maybe. If it's 500, maybe not. So we have to weigh these factors. I see that there's a difference depending on how big the party is you're having in the Shabbos. If it's a small family party of 10, so it's not so big of a loss as opposed to 500. So whatever the case is, we see that the Noz B'Huda does have this chiddush, though, that these types of items are not called the davar sheish matir. Okay, let's...
Did you ask about the Rosh?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
It's a side topic, but when he says b'vas achas, is he looking for a heter, or... Push comes to shove, if someone would come to you and say, can I eat the meat? Do we say better not to, or is it really...
So here, let's take a look inside. Once we have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me, the Siman Kuf Tes talked about Din Yavesh Be Yavesh Shenis Ariv. If you have two dry pieces of food, not liquids. Liquids, mixed milk with chillin works differently than the two dry pieces of meat. So let's take a look at what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Tes. He says, firstly, for David's point, chaticha she'ena rulis kabed, meat that is not chashiv, that's not of that stature, whatever that definition is, that gets mixed with another type. So he says, chad b'trei batel, u'muter la'ochlen adam echad, kol achas b'fnei atzmo. So you have three pieces of meat, two kosher, one is not. The Shulchan Aruch paskind, one person could eat all three, but have them separately. Aval lo yochal shloshim yachad, you shouldn't eat them all together. And then he writes, Yesh misha osa lachlam adam echad, afil zechazeh. There are those who say that you shouldn't even eat them one person after the next. Three different people can eat them. And the Rama writes, V'yesh linhog lichachila. That's how one should practice lichachila. One person shouldn't have all three of them. V'yesh machmir. And there are those who are machmir to throw one piece of meat out or give it to a goy. V'enu el chumr ba'alma. That's a chumr ba'alma, says the Rama, to take one meat and throw it out.
That's chumr ba'alma.
A chumr ba'alma to do that.
What's that?
It's just a chumr, just a stringency.
Not necessary.
Correct. So this is the din. So what comes out is, according to the Rama, I'm not sure, we won't get through this in the Masechta, he seems to side with the Shulchan Aruch that one person shouldn't be eating them, but three people can eat them, not one person. That's how he passes them to the end of the day. The Rasha is not brought down the halacha, though. But it's fascinating how it works, that bittul is, at least conceptually, it's transforming the iser into a davar mutter. Exactly. Each person, I could say I ate the kosher one, and you could say the kosher, and you could say the kosher one. When I'm eating all three, I'm vadai eating a davar iser. Okay. Let's go through the answer now of Rav Zilberstein. So Rav Zilberstein explains that he says it's chiddush, he quotes the chiddush of the tzlach. And let's read this inside together. If you look at number 5, the second page, the tshuva. Tshuva l'chor, at first glance, yesh lomar, there's room to say, she'ein kan davar she'esh l'matirin. This does not qualify as a davar she'esh l'matirin. V'zos l'fima she'chidush atzlach, based on the tzlach that's found in our sugya and daf gimel amud beis. Shilafi peish Rashi, according to Rashi, shilachach amru chachamim, for this reason chachamim said, davar she'esh l'matirin, something that has a eventual heter, afil be'elef l'batol. Even if it mixed with 1,000, won't be batel. Why? Shechevin sheyachal la'achlo l'macha beheter. Since tomorrow on Sunday you could eat a beheter, lo yochlenu hayom be'iser. Don't eat it today on Shabbos be'iser. Imkein, if this is the case, kol zeh meduber b'maichel. This only refers to that which is eaten. Sheyachal la'achlo pamachat, that you can only eat one time. In lachein amrina and sheyochlenu beheter, we say that one time of eating it should be the most heter way possible. Aval agavi tilta muksa, to move an item. Sheyachal l'shamish bo gam hayom gam amachar. I can move it today, I can move it tomorrow. Im nemar l'adam shelo yushamish ba yom el l'machar. We tell a guy, don't move it today, move it tomorrow. Hari hefseid es hashima shel yom. What David was saying, that I'm losing today's use, that it comes and goes. I lost today's usage. Sherei l'gavi hashima shel yom lo yoyom ma sheyachal l'shamish ba machar. Tomorrow's usage doesn't affect my today's usage on Shabbos. Shekol yom hu shimush b'fnei atzmo. Each day is called its own unit of usage. Be'ofen kaze, in this type of case, lo amru chachamim shedavar sheyesh lo matirin eino batel. Sharei klapi hana sheyesh lo keis b'chefetz eino matirin. Today's usage, I can't anticipate tomorrow's usage, because tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is a different shemesh. I look at each unit, each day separately, and today it's a complete loss, and therefore today's usage is not called a davar she'esh l'matir. Ulafi chidusha, according to this great chidush of the Noda de Behuda, shebenogel iser tiltil, with regards to moving something muksa, lo nemar klal shel davar she'esh l'matir. We don't say this principle. Nuchalomar, we're able to say b'sheilasenu regarding our question, shemoter l'shtamish b'chol akiseos. You're able to use all the chairs at the catering hall. Hol v'akisei amukse batel b'ruv. We say batel b'ruv by the chair. But he pulls back a little bit. He says, ach, however, yeshlomar shekisei atzma hu davar chashiv, though. So we said that the mukse items are not called davar sheishlam atirin. there's bittul. But there's a second factor, which is the continuation of the Gemara, to davar chashiv. It's a davar shebeminyan. You sell them by the count. Veino batal, that which is chashiv, there's no bittul. Ukemoshe kasi ramother, am I right? The whole davar shebeminyan, anything gets sold by the number. The hainu shedarchol limnosu, tell me that you count them constantly, you count how many chairs you have. Eino batal. So he goes back to square one. Maybe they can't use the chairs at all. All 500 chairs should be assumed that's usher because there's just one chair that's muksa, tabasis. But then he says, and he goes back to something that we all saw in the beginning, that totosis and daf bezim and aleph, very important tonight when it comes to buses. How does a buses work? We say there are a number of necessary criteria that need to be in place to create a buses. So just to remind ourselves of that totosis and bezim and aleph, Tosa says that number one is that to create a basis has to be with the intention of leaving the item there all day long. Number two is there can't be anything mutter on it. Number three is the kavan has to be there as well. But there's a fourth factor. Has to be yours. You have to own it. I can't go to your house and leave a davar muksa and make your chair, your table, into a basis.
This one poor guy won't be able to use any of the chairs.
No, that guy's allowed to use it. Why not?
Because it's for himself.
No, but he doesn't own the chair. He doesn't own it. It's not mine. It's the caterer's. I can asser your items.
You can ask for somebody else, but you could ask for it for yourself.
Nope, I have no right.
It depends who owns
the chair. No, it depends. If I don't own it, I can't asser it for anyone. So says the Reb Zilberstein at the end here, Amnom yesh lemakom lahati al pimashe kasa rama. We could permit the usage of all the chairs based on the Rama and Simon Shin Tesiv Dalad. Im adam hiniach davar muksa al shel chavero. If I place an item, a mux item on your buses, lo arminon shenase buses lo davar asa. I cannot turn your chair into buses or turn your table or whatever it might be into buses. The ain adam oser davar sheino shelo. I cannot aser that which is you, not mine. Meaning, I can't make your chair hektish either. I can't say I'm maktish your chair, I'm maktish your car, I'm maktish your house. It doesn't work. I can't aser that which is not mine here as well. So gam binyanenu regarding our case here. Ain reshus la reches, no permission for this guest. Le esor es a kise hashayech le klal haorchem ulebali ulam, whose chairs are only either rented by the guests or it's owned by the caterer. That she has no right to ask her because of a buses. You have a question? Yeah.
Is this the whole? Is this the main head?
Just one second.
No, you could say because of the caterer or hashayech le orchem.